This episode of the Puru Muay Thai podcast is brought to you by PMTLifestyle.com, authentic Muay Thai lifestyle by Puru. Definitely go check out the website at PMTLifestyle.com for some awesome lifestyle merchandise. That's for those of you out there either involved in Muay Thai, looking at getting involved in Muay Thai, embrace a healthier lifestyle to live the life of a Nak Muay. Go check it out. On this episode, we have our friend Josh Saliva on the podcast. Just the episode we filmed at the hotel that's nearby the camp in Bangkok that we go to, Kit Kam Thorn. We've had Josh on the podcast before. He's a character. We're talking to him and our students, and we're like, hey, man, we need to just pop up here and start filming. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify or another audio-only platform, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go check out the YouTube channel. Go check out the video. We have some special guests that come in on the podcast during this. It's very raw, but tune in and enjoy. I did lose a little bit of the first part of the podcast, only like the first 2 minutes. So we're able to kind of just catch up on everything when we tune in here. But I want to give you guys a little bit of context on it. It's for the Puu Muay Thai training camp in Bangkok, Thailand, and in Phuket, Thailand in December 2022. Enjoy.
No, not live. Hopefully, I haven't been recording before, but
yeah. So, you're saying with these trainers now, you have like a totally new, going through and talking about how different generations are gonna stop teaching, like Pipa, Shamwat.
Exactly, they're gonna stop teaching soon. But there's one thing. This is one thing to look on. You know what I mean? Okay. For example, pads. When you're smashing pads. These men from that time, you can see they have a certain rhythm. Mm-hmm. They have a certain rhythm. Muay Thai is a dance. It has music. So it's like there's a rhythm that you go and you think. You'll see the pads nowadays, and it's very robotic.
Yeah.
It's very like 1, 2, 3, kick. 1, 2, up. You know what I mean? But there it's not really rhythmic. Then you have a natural like a Pipa or like a Wat, you can see they have a certain
timing.
Yes, make sure this is still good. Yeah, it is still good.
And that's the thing, you know, you'll see from today, the teachers today, and then the teachers from the old era. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's very, it's a thing to pay attention to, but I think now is the time to like really invest your time and
learn from these people.
People, because then later on, in probably like 5 years,
they're done. Yeah, they're retired. Yeah. Same thing in the U.S. Like a lot of the guys, like there's people like Jong Sinan, and Gan Yao, like they're all getting ready to retire. Like my crew, he's a Thai guy. Same thing.
Jong Sinan, there's this guy Mon Lit. He's like one.
Yeah.
You know Mon Lit.
Yes.
Yeah. So
he was at Sitsong Pinong.
Yeah. Right? He's the head trainer there. He actually mentioned he came over to the gym to help out for a little bit. He's actually a good friend with Pipa, and he mentioned Jong Sinan. Like back in the day, and the way he modified my stance, because people had me open, he had me like just turn in a little bit and stand a certain way, and I'm like, wow, that's like, it reminded me like Wooden Man, like
he has guard.
So it's really interesting, but you see how the technique gets passed down, but it gets personalized by each person.
Mm-hmm.
So like the fundamentals that people showed me, I can see how Lurzilla uses it, I see Sancha use it, but it's all the same. They put it together differently.
Yeah, then they figure out their style, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing like my crew that I had, you know, he's like in his 60s. It's like the guys that were like fighting back in the 70s, you know? So the 70s, 80s. And definitely different style, like the styles and the basics too. It's that really old knowledge that I feel like a lot of it is getting lost with a new... Because do you think it's in part due to like a lot of the foreigners coming here and it kind of gets like diluted with misinterpretation or...
I think that there's that, but then there's also what I mainly think is that how they've tried to, the entertainment aspect, you know, where they change the rule set to be more entertaining, you know what I mean? And they're losing, like, actually, man, like, if you look at the golden arrow fights, you know, and then people, we have science now, we have modern science that makes a fighter better, you know?
Yeah.
But if you look at the old times, you see how they were constantly just back and forth. They weren't slow in the first or two rounds.
No, they went right away.
And so there's these things. They're starting to do that with the 3-round fights.
Yeah.
But it's like
but why not do it for 5?
For the 5, yeah. And it's not the same, man. The artistic side and the thing is not being, everything's full about power. Versus like you don't see a Lurzilla or a Sanchai in the stadiums because they're very technical, They don't rely on power, they rely on the technique and the finesse, So it's like there's these things that are changing, but like it's really interesting with how the old guy people teach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then you're also getting the way they were teaching the people that are legends today, you're getting the same way, you're learning the same way, you know what I mean? Versus skipping, you're going straight to the source.
Yeah. You don't get the interpretation of it, you're getting it.
You get it, straight, and then you make your own interpretation.
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely see that happening.
Yeah.
Because of just from being around it. Like, we met each other first in 2015.
Yeah.
At the World, it was the WKA Worlds.
Yeah.
In Spain. And seeing where you started then, you fucked up your shoulder that.
Yeah, right? My shoulder got messed
How
up.
How is that now?
My shoulder, it's amazing now. Like, lots of, rehab. I mean,
PT. It took a while off.
It took a while. And then it's like I had to do like what really, it wasn't really the shoulder, but it was kind of like trying to find my way and find a training in the gym and thing. So it played out. I mean, at the time it wasn't working out for me, but then I was like, you know what, F it, I'm just going to stop messing around, go straight to Thailand.
Be there. Because you were out here for a couple of years, then you went back for a bit, right?
Yeah, and then the COVID, and then it came back.
Well, you were out here like in 2021 is when you came back? Or when did you
2019, and then 2000, the end of 2021.
That's when he came back, right?
December. Yeah, and then I came back and then started training again, and then I was just like, I didn't care about winning or losing. I was just like, just put me in these stressful situations, and I will learn.
You'll figure it out. Yeah,
get the experience.
Because I think that's one thing that I think that was why I talked to you about having you on here, is because you're fucking busy, and this is not something you do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, I can document these awesome people.
Yeah.
Like things that you're doing. And I know you're like, hey man, I got some shit going on, so let's talk about it.
Oh man, there's a lot, and it's like, even, okay, when I was in the States, the last, like, really, really, like, I worked with, Danny Bill came for a seminar in Seattle.
Yeah.
Man, it's amazing. Like he, as a foreigner,
mm.
I want to hear what the successful foreigners, the foreigners that were successful in Muay Thai, I would always like to hear how their mind is, mm-hmm. and how it's respected. And he was telling me his story. He's like, man, it's like, it's not like, don't care about winning or losing. He's like, I was losing, like, I lost 10 fights straight in a row till I actually got my rhythm. And it's a different mentality, it's like we have all these things with our fight culture in America where it's all about the record and all these things, but it's like Muay Thai is a crazy, crazy game.
Completely different.
It is a crazy game, and so it's like it's hard to control that. It's hard to be in control of what the outcome will be.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that's like a top fighter has been through that process already. And I was with Lurzilla in his last fight, won championship. He lost.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what he said after the fight. He was like, this is like the best thing. Because now, he didn't look at it as a defeat. He was like, it's like, this is part of the game. He apologized to me because he didn't win. But he's like, this is part of the game. And he was like, you got to know how to lose.
Yeah.
He's like, and it's like, now we know what we need to work on, and now we can go back to the thing. And when he said that, he wasn't like depressed or sad about it. He was freaking actually happy.
Hey, this person figured out this part of my game. I had to adjust.
Yeah.
To get back on it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I respect the fall. I was just thinking this all over the on the bike. I was like, I respect the fall over the win over the winning, because the winning, yes, yeah, like, be happy and don't be hard on yourself and celebrate everything that's going good for you. But the thing about the loss is that it exposes you to yourself. on a whole different level.
I bet, man.
On a whole different level. And one thing that I'm glad is that, like, I'm still happy and still on this path. I didn't allow myself to be defeated by adversity. And there's these things, man, like, a lot of people, a lot of foreigners that come out here, it's not easy. They're going through it. There's many. I'm sure there's a shit ton.
Oh, no, I know. I've talked to a few of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Because I know it can be, really tough for the foreigners to be out here. Like, one of them, my friend Moses, has been out here for 10 years.
Yeah,
and wow. He was fighting a lot, and he went through this whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, he's been through. He's up in Chiang Mai. Shout out to Moses if you listen to this, man.
Wow.
But yeah, I know a bunch of the foreigners got together just kind of like a support group, essentially.
Because
it's like, hey, man, I'm getting fucked up, you know, or I have this infection on top of it, and like you add all these other things, and I have a fight this next week, and I have this infection, and I need the money, and like. It gets hard, man.
It gets crazy, man. I've seen, I'm actually, it's not like when I was in Phuket, people could go to the beach and forget about all their problems. When you're out here in the city, you have to like fully assess yourself. It goes like, you're either like freaking doing really good, or you're kind of like
fucking up
1,000%, you know, and you have this understanding. So it's a challenge when it comes to like self improvement as a fighter, self development. You really have to like combat whatever it is. But you have to fully assess yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just constantly. You got a race car. You got to constantly make sure everything is like there's not a knot that's like loose.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you don't take care of all of that, you it's easy for people to go off the scales and wander off, go fuck off, do drugs.
Drugs, sex tourism, all that stuff.
Sex tourism, like, man, like, shit's crazy.
You were telling me about some of that stuff. I'm like, yo, dude, that's right. You're dropping some funny shit. I need to pull up the camera.
Yeah, man. Like, people, you see people, man, they go, they come in, and then they can't handle it gets too hard.
That's not for that.
Oh.
Yeah, very famous fighter.
Oh, really?
He's the one from the trainer from down the street.
I seen it, man.
Yeah.
I need to research this gym, man, because it seems really. I looked at it too, and I seen it. It looked really nice.
Yeah, it's very like because they don't promote a lot for like tourists
to
come
in. That's really good.
Yeah, and they do a lot of, you know, this like. Not to get too far off topic, but like if you see in Phuket, 1-2 kick, oh, good job, I hit, you know, you're fucking tired, but you didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
You know, here it's like, hey, no, we are like hands here.
Fix
like,
that shit.
Yeah, these small little details to learn the style.
That's the one thing, man, because like there's some good, don't get me wrong, there's some good places down there, but I was more like, I knew that 2 months or something would be equivalent to like a.
Sorry, cop?
Five.
So my name
is
Josh.
Nice to meet you. I've seen you before.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of corners, and you'll see him around now because he's back at. He was in Phuket for a little bit.
Oh.
And for those that don't know, this is not for that. He's the one we did the special limited edition shorts, the collab shorts. The Lord of the Knees of the Chest, that's his nickname. That's gangster, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So he beat Sanchai 3 times in a row when they're at the peak.
So
he's the one that figured out how to beat him using, like, the heavy forward clinch style.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very, very cool. I'm glad you got to meet him. But, yeah, with the adjustments on the technique, when I first came here in 2010, you know, I was training at another gym. It was good because I was friends with the owner, right?
Yeah.
And I came here and I'm not friends with them. They treat us like we're family right away.
Yeah.
And so I knew anybody I sent here would get that same treatment, and a lot of people did.
That's actually the best, man. That's the best thing. There's the different gyms, but then if you know they're taking care of you well and everything, and you fight for them, that's like the best for me, in my opinion. Versus like you get that touristy vibe. And then it's like everyone's just like, you know, it becomes like a just work, you know, business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The trainers
don't look at it as a family thing. It's like I'm out, I'm away from home, I'm far away from home, and I gotta make some money. I gotta do, you know, take care of my family. You know, so.
Yeah. That's why you guys family here with them.
Yeah.
So he was actually in China for like six or seven years. He was going back and forth. He stayed out there for like 8 months and come back for 3.
Yeah.
So, but then I guess they changed the visa situation between Thailand and China and made it hard for them, and it wasn't worth it. So then he was working at Muay Thai in Phuket.
Ah.
He was there for a while. and he was training some guys there. And then he moved back up here to Bangkok, and he's helping. They have a guy named Kong Klai, Annie Muay Thai.
Yeah.
He's got the Fighter of the Year, Yad Moy.
That's the guy that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Clinch.
Very good. Very good. He has like really. He knocked out Six on Okonmo.
Yeah.
The man that yields in Owen. He freaking dropped and he knocked him out.
Yeah.
So. Which is funny from like a knee fighting gym, right?
Yeah. It's amazing, man. It's amazing.
Yeah. So. I guess kind of working, going back onto it, so working through your adversity, this like down, how it's hard for foreigners to be out here and stuff, man. Like, can you give me like a specific example you can remember of a time where you're like, shit, I need to check myself on like, if this is like the path I really want to go?
It's just like you're constantly, it's just every day, man. Like, you're constantly hit with something that is like, like, fuck, man, like, I'm in pain, or, like, I'm, like, it could be just little things, you know?
It could be between rounds after a hard session, like, what the fuck am I doing,
yeah,
right?
You know, and you just, it could be, like, four days of, like, not having your day in training, you know what I mean? It could be little things, and you're just, like, fuck, man, I would really want to, like, just go out, you know, and just go do something, you know? Just, like, say, fuck everything, you know? And so, but the thing is, like, there's times, too, even with my... But losing my last fight, I was happy about it. You know what I mean? So like, since I love doing this, I love it so much, that and you know what I mean, I didn't really have problems that I can see where other people
would.
Yeah. Where other people would kind of go off the scales and off the thing.
Okay, I come 1 month. All right, 1 month in Thailand. Here, 1 week. And then I go Phuket. Next week I go Phuket. But he Chok Moy Rajaratnam. Yeah, Saturday.
Okay. They changed for last minute.
Yeah. Good to see you. You're here with your family.
Yeah.
Family. Nice.
Get him on camera.
Yeah. Hey, you wanna take a seat? Okay, camera.
Hello.
Champion. Good.
Yeah. So we talk about your knee. Your favorite one, Sai, Kwa?
Lip Lai.
Either one? Yeah.
Lip Lai.
both are good.
Okay?
Yeah, try. Okay, Kakun Kap. Yeah.
See, that's the thing too, is like when you're out here, you constantly meet like straight savages.
Over and over again.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's why I'd rather just not know who my opponent is.
Yeah, because that way that way it's not in your head. You just go fight him, and then afterwards, like, oh shit, I fought that guy.
It's better I don't know who you are, and just like,
yeah.
Please do not send me footage of my opponent or anything. Because who knows, the guy like freaking KO'd somebody, some special dude, you know?
Yeah, man. He fought like, he's fought like the who's who of Muay Thai also.
Yeah.
And seeing him come up and become a trainer and come back in and do it, and you know, the people he has, they have this kid named Ota, who's there right now, and he actually, you know that guy, the American fighter, Jaleel Barnes?
Yeah.
So he made Jaleel Barnes.
He's the guy that beat him.
Yeah.
Before he fought, what's his
Onion.
Name?
Onion, yeah.
Oh,
so he's down here. So get this, dude, he's only 15.
Oh shit, bro.
So I met him when he was like, he just turned 13, and he moved here. And because his brother is his brother is much smaller. His brother just went to the army, but he was also a Lumpini champion, like I think 2 times. And he moved up here to train with his brother. And when he first came here, he was crying and stuff like that because he's losing, getting his ass kicked. But now he's, the nail has become the hammer.
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's how it is, man. You know, you're in that environment, and then you just, the moment, I always hear this story from everybody. It's like, you're in the environment, things don't go your way, then the people stop caring, and the moment they stop caring about it, they're just free from the outcome of winning or losing, you're just free from it, they just don't care anymore, that's when they're like, okay, if they find themselves, that's when they really like, at the worst moment, they find themselves. Oh yeah, you know, it's
like
fine.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah,
it doesn't. I don't care. And then that's when that anxiety goes away. Everything. I'm like, I'm just gonna fight. You know, fuck it.
Yeah, just go out, be present. Go out there, enjoy.
I think this is a reason why. I mean, I think this mentality would be. back home in America, in the States, everyone is so keen on winning.
Winning, yeah.
But if we take away the ego and take away, like, my gym's better than your gym, and we take away all of that shit and just constantly just fight.
But that's the problem, though. You know, they don't have the infrastructure to fight.
That's what we need. Yeah. And that's what we need to work on.
Exactly. That's so, well, that's why we started going to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like there you can go fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the infrastructure is there for it. Yeah. Because they have the officials. It's not overly regulated. It's self-regulated. Whereas in America, it's government-regulated. It's like Muay Thai brought to you by the people that give you the DMV, bro. Like, yeah. Come on. Like,
it's true.
So it makes it very difficult for it to happen. That's why people have to come here, like what you're doing, man.
In my travels, like I've seen many cultures, and I've seen for example, I always bring this up, man. Like, I get blown away by like the Eastern Bloc Europeans and the Russians. Because they get like they have over like 200 amateur fights, but then they get awarded these little medals, and it's like they don't have nothing to show for, you know what I mean? And it's like, and we're back home, but it's like what was I gonna say, man? But the mentality of just constantly like F it, it's just fighting, it's nothing personal.
Mm.
We gotta get rid, like the moment we can create something of this just constant. You know, and just F it, fuck it, win, lose. Who cares? Mm. Who cares? You know what I mean? We just have that constantly. We can bring up the striking.
Yeah, and get better and better. Yeah. That's one of the things that I was telling people recently is, I actually wrote like a whole brief about it. It's funny, I wrote it for my team.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
But it was why in like California, other places in the U.S., they need to be doing the tournaments because it creates that mentality of fight. Doesn't matter win or lose, go out there and go fight. And you don't know who you're fighting. Like you know, but you just show up in the ring and you're fighting somebody.
Yeah.
So it makes it they're wearing shin guards, elbow pads and stuff, but it creates that same mindset where it doesn't matter. It's like, hey, I go fight somebody. Oh crap! They won this tournament the last 2 years in a row. Yeah, they're fucking good.
Yeah.
Hey, I almost beat them. I got a split decision loss. Hey, exactly. That means I could probably win.
Yeah.
Right. So, it really allows people to develop, and it goes into also the judging, the inconsistencies in judging in the U.S.
Yeah.
So there's like in California, there's a kickboxing organization that oversees it.
Yeah.
And California is one of the most active states, and it creates a lot of market confusion because it's. If a fighter stays in California their whole life, and then all of a sudden they start competing out of state, they're losing now. They're like, wait, why the fuck am I losing? Oh, the other states suck.
Yeah.
But reality is just, it's different criteria.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes it very hard. And I think that's like the Fairtex fights, and they're doing the Road to One, and they're trying to standardize and make it so everybody's on the same page about stuff,
you know?
And like at the, you know, Road to One championship fights, like you don't see people dancing off in the fifth round.
Yeah.
You see them fighting all the way through, like we were talking about.
Yeah, totally.
So,
totally.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen the Road to One chant? Like
I actually know a couple of people that went on it. You know what I mean? And I seen it, but it seems like there's some cool things. You know, like the taking away the gambling. You know, like what Chaudhry was saying. But then also, man, because I'm fighting on Raja, there's also this other thing where they're like, there's some weird stuff going on.
Yeah, they're
politics, weird politics.
Yeah, because, well, they're saying, like, by doing that, it's ruining the ladder system of Muay Thai, right?
And you know, I still have to see. I just recently saw an interview Rod Tang did, you know.
It came out, like, just yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, and he was talking about...
Today is December 11th here in...
Thailand. Yeah. So it's like, and then it's like that makes sense, you know what I mean, with the thing. But then there's a whole economy. They're talking about the whole economy of Muay Thai out here, you know.
Mm.
And it's hard for me to speak on it because I didn't come from. I don't know exactly, you know. I wasn't a kid who was raised.
For them, I think they'll figure out what's best for what.
Yeah.
I trust that they'll, because they're talking to each other, you know, and I think that's a good thing. They're not like, we're not talking to you.
I think it's actually good because the moment Chaudhry did the one Lumpini, then he said he was going to pay double than what Roger paid. Then Roger came out with the Roger Moon World Series.
And it's like this big production. They got new lighting set up, everything.
Yeah, and the guy, what's his name? One of the hosts of Antoine Pinto, he came to the gym. He's like, they had the same module as K, marketing module as K1.
Oh, wow.
So they're using the business module is the same. I don't know anything of that stuff, but that's what he said. So it's interesting now because now like Muay Thai, now it's like there's a chance, you know, for the people. There's a avenue now to like, okay, you fight here and you go up.
And you fight here, then you fight here, then you're in one.
Yeah. And you're in one and everything.
Or then if you don't have fights in one, you have fights on this show. Mm-hmm. It keeps you active in one that you can fight under your contract.
Make sure we're still good.
It's good, you know what I mean? Because now a lot of people already like got their eyes on it. Once before, back in the day, say we our time when we were at the WKA 2015, it wasn't really like there was not much attention on Muay Thai.
No, even dude,
not
that
attention
was that
on
was
on Muay Thai. That's nuts, bro.
That was my first time I went to a tournament.
Yeah.
Right, and I heard about TBA and I knew about them, but I didn't. I'm like, okay, we'll do the fight nights, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But then I saw that and I was like, oh, we're doing tournaments. Yeah. I was like, I saw it right away. I'm like, oh, the next WKA, I brought somebody to the East Coast to go fight.
Yeah.
And then I learned about the shit show of the WKA.
Honestly, I think it's really good what you're doing with your students.
What?
I think it's really good bringing them out to Thailand and having them experience this because this is the thing, man. Like, I'm starting to see the behind the scenes, you know, like a dude that was at my gym recently, I was coaching at my gym, just became a champion and won a championship. You know what I mean? And things like this, and they're like, you have the masses, and the masses only know what they know from what they see face from the,
like in front of them,
but then the behind the scenes, and I'm seeing this and I'm like, holy moly, you know what I mean? Like, you had that guy, that Japanese guy Hiroki, and then he was at Evolve, and then Nongo was training with him. Right, and then Nongo comes back to Thailand, and then he goes and trains with Pet.
Yeah, and I'm seeing them both train, and I see them at Fairtex Gym. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you know, and it's just interesting.
Because people think it's like these people are like too far away, and you'll never meet them.
Yeah,
right. They don't quite understand the connection and how Muay Thai works in that capacity.
Yeah, you
right?
know, and it's like, you know, they don't. And but the thing is it's very good because for example, say you have a champion in America. You have a champion in America, and like, man, I respect everyone that's doing their thing and everything. You have a champion in America, but then it's like, then you come to Thailand, and then you come to Thailand, and it's like you're already starting from scratch again.
Yeah,
a champion in the States, but you come to Thailand and you're starting from scratch. So what you're doing by bringing your students out here, you're already just putting them on this.
Yeah, well, this is where you need to be.
This is where you exactly need to be, and you need to think. That's why, man, like, I didn't have the resources that I needed in the States to fight on all these things, these amateur shows, because I didn't really, I couldn't find
the opportunity to do it. Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna go here. When I'm out here in Thailand, there's many champions from their foreign countries, champions from these European countries, champions from the States,
yeah, US,
South America,
yeah, Canada, all that stuff.
They come here and they start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you are a beginner again.
Yeah, you're a C-class again.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy. But then you see, like, okay. One guy I like to watch, you know, when I was back in the States, was that guy Eddie
Abasolo. Yeah.
You know, and he fought recently. Now he's fighting on one.
Yeah.
Now that means, and he's a Muay Thai guy. That means he's gonna be fighting on one Lumpini.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's like you're gonna be fighting with Thai people. You're gonna have to understand. The best thing you can do is come to Thailand.
Yeah,
and feel that energy.
And bite down the mouthpiece to fucking go too when it comes time. He posted something, it was like, you know, either you have the dog in you or you don't.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you just gotta be game to go down there and go fight.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, at the end of the day,
it's
too.
It's true. It's true, man. And then that, like, that thing, and I'm like, you know, it's like, we might as well start developing a culture when it comes to Muay Thai, like from the States, of just sending people. Australia's doing, actually, they're doing good now, because we get some Thai trainers, we'll help them out, bring them back to the States, have like three or four Thai trainers, you even in your gym, you know what I mean, and then you come here as a student, you learn, and then when they, and then you return the favor, you bring them to the country, that they help them support their family. And then we constantly just start bringing Thai trainers to the States.
Yeah, I was just talking to you. You know the brand Satrawood? Satra?
First time I heard
it. Yeah, they have they sponsor a lot of fighters back in the US.
Yeah.
But Ajahn Watt was wearing like the shorts.
Yeah.
And I ran to the guy Jack. I ran into him once in the US, like me and him just kind of becoming acquainted.
Yeah.
Great guy, go check him out. For him, he is actually working on bringing over a bunch of trainers to stay there for like a few months too.
That's the way, man.
Yeah.
We need
And the same thing, I was like, not that. I want him to come over. Because he speaks English. He's nice. He has family here. Like, it's beneficial, right? He knows a lot.
Send him. Get him over there, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's funny? Tong, Master Tong, he's a guy in the States. You know, he's on the street. He's on the street where I live, you know, and we constantly PM people. I'll go eat dinner. We walk down the street, eat some street food, some Isan food. And we come back, we go say hi to Tong, you know, he's out here, he's trying to get back to the States.
Oh, really? Yeah, he was the one, was he the one that was with your RFA or stuff, right?
Team
So
it's funny seeing, I'm like, yeah, and I can see, like, the American vibe rubbed off on him.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I can see,
like, he's like, shit, I need to get back there.
Yeah, like, you're total, the way you speak, you know, English, you're like, fuck, man, like, da-da-da, you know.
And bro,
just,
yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, but like, importing the Thai trainers is the thing we need to hop on.
That's the thing. There's a couple different avenues to do it, and that's what I was talking to Jack about from Satra, because he's trying to figure it out. And I've talked to a couple of immigration attorneys, and I'm not going to give it away too much. If you're interested and you want to know what I know, you can reach out to me. We can talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's definitely something that there's a couple different ways to skin the cat, per se.
Yeah, it's important, man. We need to get people. They go to Thailand, they find their way, you know, then they bring honor to their gym back home, but then also then they say they want to do their thing, and then now we have Thai trainers everywhere.
Yeah, and you have more gyms. States. Well, it's like the Thai trainers, the first generation Thai trainers in the U.S., they're retiring, you know, and then, like, or they're dying, you know, so we need to replenish.
Yeah, we really, it's very important to me, man. It's very important to me because there's a lot of people, I mean, that are speaking on the art of Muay Thai back home in the States, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, and I respect, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of good people.
Right? Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of good people. But like, see, it's a good thing what you're doing, especially with your students as a teacher, and not only that, as a like content creator and everything.
Yeah.
It's very good because you're already, you're giving him, you're bringing him directly to the source.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing.
Like, there's a lot of people that just come out here, and then they share it online, and then they talk about it. And like I said, that's where a lot of stuff gets lost in interpretation.
There's a middleman. That middleman thing, because it's like, if you got a society that's clueless to whatever it is, like, I can be like, okay, this is a fine wine from thing. This is very, very, blah, blah, blah. I speak it up. If they don't know anything about wine, then of course, you know, okay, like, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to...
Cool, I'll try it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's good. And that's all it, right?
Yeah. It, I personally think not only like when it comes to martial arts, but if you develop like... And then it'll create a bunch of open-minded human beings. They're aware of different culture. It opens their mind. They see the world. They come back and they can offer the best, whoever the next generation.
This guy Roth right here. He was out here with me last time. So what are you eating? Pork rinds?
Oh yeah.
Chicharron.
Chicharron. Yeah.
Yeah. Chicharron.
So he came out with me. He came out here last time and stuff like that too. And you know, he coaches at our academy and talks about this, and he's like, dude, you guys need to go, and like, because it was Chad and Thomas, he helped talk into it and stuff too, right? Yeah. He's like, hey, dude, you guys just do it, just fucking go. If you can go, go.
Hell yeah.
And because they're martial artists, like, they do jiu-jitsu also, so they get like the whole lineage of like, hey, I need to go like see it.
Yeah.
And their jiu-jitsu instructor, he's a friend of mine, and he was telling them too, like, no, you need to like go.
It's the truth, man. If you look at like even old school fighters, man, like even MMA, man, they like one of my favorite MMA fighters is Sakuraba. They go in Pride, you know, he's a catch wrestler, but then he was like, I need to learn Muay Thai, so he brought a Thai trainer, Lumpini champion, to train him.
Well, so Michael Bisping stayed here at Keith Kim Thorn for 3 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, this is what I like about Thailand, man. Like, you know who else is here that fights in the UFC? That Marvin. The guy that fought Israel Adesanya, the Italian guy.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I know who it is, but I don't know their name.
He's over there training with Chandler Gaye.
Oh, nice.
And you know, yeah, fuck, I could Yeah. Oh shit, my bad. Yeah,
yeah, you're good, you're good.
1,000%, yeah.
But, you know, kind of going through the, you know, what you have fight this Saturday, Legend of Dumbnoon, and then you're going to be going into, after that, like, how long are you planning on staying out here now?
Man, I'm full time, so okay, I'm going to fight. I have my yearly visa expires in May, but then I'm going to go to Switzerland and have a fight lined up in Switzerland.
You were coaching in Switzerland for a little bit, right?
Yes, I was coaching. So there's a promotion there, and they're going to pay me money, and that money I'm going to use to pay for my next yearly visa.
Mm.
So it's like, and then I'm going to teach there, stay out there, kind of take a break from Thailand.
Take a little money.
Breathe the nice
mountain air.
You know?
No longer getting the fresh Bangkok
smog. Yeah, you know, and then reset, recharge my spirit, and then go do this process again back in Thailand, and just consistently fight. I'm going to try to do this as long as I can until I accomplish my goals in Muay Thai and then possibly go into MMA after. Possibly.
So what's something you would tell yourself in the future when you look back at this time?
Oh man, like everything is meant to be, man. Like there was a reason why I'm in this time, and there's a reason I'm everything, you know, you did the right thing.
There you go.
The right thing.
So, for you, I have a question for you. Left kick or right kick?
Ooh.
Hey, Ralph's giving the eyes right now. Yeah, is he shooting the ojos at you right now?
Ah, man, both, man. But the thing is that a left kick, a really, if you just master that left body kick, that's just the, and then someone likes to catch, that's just a free liver shot right there.
Yeah.
But then I like, for me, I fell in love with my right kick way too much. And then there's
the
a
power.
Lot of, yeah, there's a lot of things. But for like every month, like, so I had a whole like month of just perfecting my right kick, but now I'm just focused. Now I'm going to start focusing on my left. But
Ralph, there was the Lord. He just left. Lord needed a chest. He was in here.
Yeah.
You guys walked right past him earlier.
The one thing I would say about kicks, man, is that people need to learn how, when it comes to kicks, is that you can, if you have a person that's good with their hands, you can pin their arms.
Yes.
If you constantly kick them in the arms, you can pin their, you can subdue their boxing.
Yeah, you can slow it down.
Yeah.
And that's why I started learning how to use my kick more.
Yeah.
Because when I first started, I hated boxing. Until I got my boxing coach, and I really like just did a lot of boxing.
Yeah.
But it made it really easy using that left body kick to really pin that arm there.
Yeah, and man.
Too.
And the left is actually really, really, like, they're not used to it. Everyone's used to the right kick. That's why I need to start working on it. But but now I'm getting ideas. I'm finding my rhythm with my left. But it's like, I would say the left kick. I would
left
say,
kick.
Actually now, I would say the left kick is very
good. You think we'll see a left kick, some good left kicks this Saturday?
Yeah,
hopefully.
Possibly.
Maybe if it's in the books, right?
Yeah, if it's in the thing, you know, I need to train it more, man. But then it's like, if it comes out, it comes out. If
cool.
It comes out, it comes out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There you go. How can people follow your journey?
Just hit me up on Instagram, JoshuaLeva95. You'll see a lot of my training videos, the people that I'm like mixed up with, the circles and everything, and also the training, and like my stories are always animated with some crazy stuff, so
yeah,
I'm constantly entertained.
Well, awesome. Thanks for coming in and doing the podcast today. Anything you want to say, anything before we tune out here?
Man, like, the best thing, even for like people back home in the States or wherever you are, is the best thing you can do, you know, is like, yeah, listen to your coach. You find a coach that you trust, listen to him, but then also invest in making a trip out to Thailand, you know, and kind of like, if your coach is okay with you going to Thailand, it's a good coach. It's a good coach, period. That's it. You know what I mean? You get an open-minded coach, you know, that understands that and is for your improvement. Find yourself someone good that you can trust, and then double down on that, and then also invest in yourself. You
That's a good one,
mean,
right there.
You invest in yourself. You invest in improving yourself as a fighter or a martial artist. Doesn't matter. I view the both two people the same. The martial artist or the fighter is the same, because they're practicing. They're just doing it in a different way, have different meaning. But if you invest in improving yourself, your self worth and your self value increases, and then your word has a thing, something behind it. So then you can use that as an avenue to. There's many avenues from doing Muay Thai martial arts. Mm. I highly recommend investing in yourself, but then also being around, having someone that you can trust back home that can a base back home, you know. And then you can bring that knowledge back to your gym and share
into your team,
your team. You know what I mean? And
that's how we grow.
Yeah, that's how we all get better. That's the one thing that I'll just say, you know, what I mean, to everyone back in the States.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Whoops. Cut. The casting couch.
All right, that's it today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you guys are listening on iTunes, please go leave a review. It means the world to me. If you enjoy the content, if you like hearing about all the stuff that has to do with Muay Thai and what we're doing. We'll be right back.